Americanworkersradio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone and invite family and friends to tune in, because we want our family of listeners and supporters to continue to grow. Also, if you know people outside the broadcast area, why not send them an email and say, tune in to 860 AM on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link or Listen Anytime link, and you'll go right to our broadcast links and you'll be very pleased with what you hear. First of all, this is the broadcast week before the 4th of July, so we want to do a little talking about the 4th of July and also do some special stuff to highlight what we're trying to do and encourage our listeners, our supporters, to go out and talk it up during the 4th of July holiday, whether you're out at a parade or family get-together or fireworks. Make sure you talk about the American-made movement. Joining us today is our panel member, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And when you go to the front page of our site, you will see Mark's picture. You can click on the picture and that goes directly to his site. And there's also a symbol of his site on the right-hand side. You can click on that, and Mark has lots of specials. He'll send you out anything you want that he has available, and you can be guaranteed that is 100% American made. Next, our panel member is Larkin Connolly, a small business advocate and a SCORE mentor. And boy, this guy has always something to tell us new. And last week he was Hurricane Larkin Connolly. So I don't know what we're going to go through today, but everything is on the table. Hold nothing back. And also, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, will be with us at some point today. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always proud to be with you here each and every Wednesday and available to you 24 hours a day on the internet simply by going to the front page of our internet site. Well, last Wednesday, our guest was Alex Jimenez. He's the community outreach representative for the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, and that's located in Philadelphia at 3001 Grant Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. I pass it all the time. And Alex Jimenez was very, very important to us because he told us what they are trying to offer there at his institution. And he gave us a lot of information of how important skilled workers are to America, the airline industry for trains and everything else. I would like you to check out the broadcast with Alex. You can do that simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. I'm hoping we're going to have another of our special guests with us this morning. He's at an event, and hopefully he'll be out in time for us to have him on the air. And when you go, by the way, to the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, it's listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com on the left side. Just click on it and you'll be able to see exactly what Alex Jimenez is all about and the Institute of Aviation. And you'll be very pleased. He does a lot of work up there, and I'm really honored that he was joining us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to believe, but we're just days away from celebrating America's independence on July the 4th. Here in the city of Philadelphia, there's going to be a tremendous amount of events happening. If you are in the city or around the city, I encourage you to come out and join us. It's going to be a beautiful celebration. The weather is going to be good. The parade on the 4th of July itself starts in historic Philadelphia at 11 a.m. Come on out and enjoy the festivities. And also, We're now marking the 241st anniversary of the 4th of July this week, the Declaration of Independence. And our founding father certainly did a lot to make our nation great and free. And that's what we're trying to do with American Workers Radio and all of our movements, so that we'll be more free in the way we're able to do things to get people involved. But first, before I go on any more about the 4th of July, I'm going to ask Mark Andel, what is happening with your celebration for the 4th of July?
How you doing, Mike? Welcome listeners and our crew. Mike, very exciting times again, favorite time of the year. Everybody's getting real excited. Made in America store is alive and well, and we're pushing the products, and people love to buy products made in our country and support our veterans and support our independence before the 4th of July. So our grilling and all our items that are used for outdoor activity are really moving well. We've got our buses rolling. We probably did 10 so far in June. We got one today at 1. A lot going on, Mike. Sunday we've got a little event, and then Monday Ricky Lee's got a full band at our local town, Cheektowaga, a big event. That's Monday, and then of course the 4th is Thursday, and then next week we go into Jam in the Valley, where Toby Keith becomes 56 years old on that Saturday night. They're going to have the fireworks, and we're going to have a ball there just celebrating independence. So a lot going on, Mike, as usual. A lot of great things. It's a great time of year.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you to make sure that Ricky Lee is out there promoting American Workers Radio, too. And in fact, you have to invite him to come back when he has a minute, because he was very enthusiastic. And this is his time of year, I know, to be out there doing his entertainment. But I'd like to hear from him again. And right after the 4th of July, I'm sure he's going to have some reports on how enthusiastic the people were coming out, supporting American Made. I have to tell you, Mark, I am so baffled by the great response that I've been receiving from people everywhere I go. I was at two festivals last week, and I had a lady stop me. She was from Brigantine. That was very interesting. She told me, I always listen, whether on the radio or on the internet, but I do listen and I do spread the word. I email the broadcast out. Another lady stopped me as she was from Atlantic City, and she told me she enjoys what's going on. She is very enthusiastic. She's flying her flags and doing everything that she can. So it's a movement that's alive and well, but it's not in the news media. That's the unfortunate part. It's up to you and me and all the people running local events. If the news media was helping us to promote all this, the enthusiasm would be double. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Michael, Henry, and to all of our listeners. Happy 4th of July. There's a handful of things that happened in my life during the 4th of July. It's an indication to me that the year, believe it or not, is half over, which always amazes me how fast time goes. But the other thing that I just hate to somebody's got to do this, and if I don't do it, I don't know who will, but, you know, I have to take all six of the grandchildren and grandnieces and my family to Myrtle Beach. So as I look out the window here, I see them all running around the beach and having a good time. But I'm dedicated to the cause and came up to have a conversation about our mission in Made for America. It really is terrible out there, though. I mean, it's sunny and 84 and the water's warm.
Mark, did you have your toes in the sand and a drink in your hand? Or?
Yeah, right. Well, I did until about 20 minutes ago. Yeah, it's like been a family rule of mine for years. Cocktail hour in our house starts at 5 o'clock. But when you're at the beach, it starts at 9:30, quarter to 10.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's what we like to hear, Larkin. A lot of wildness going on.
Well, we we don't have a corner, but we sure do frighten wildness to death every time we get out of bed.
You know, as I was going around, people were talking about the 4th of July festivities, and I hear more and more local community events, flag-waving events. Like, I've never seen them the way they are now. Everybody's pushing American-made and this and that. And there was then a report that came up on TV last week, I'm sure that all of you saw it, where America needs 6 million people to finally apply for jobs in the technologies and all that sort of stuff. We don't have the people here. Even in medicine, we have a lot of people, but we don't have enough people in these fields, and that is why they continue to allow all these visas to welcome the people in, because our institutions are there graduating people with wonderful sounding degrees, but not wonderful job opportunities when they leave the cause. So did you see that mention on the news media last week that we need 6 million well-paid technology jobs?
Yeah, Mike, isn't it refreshing to see, you know, what we've talked about for years on the show and the skilled worker shortage? It's starting to be recognized, and it's going to become the number one problem. Not only myself can't find the welders and a tradesman, but my vendors and customers can't find them. And it's got to hit this media full swing. It's the number one issue to grow this country, and it's neat to see some things. I think there was something on 60 Minutes, too, if I'm right, last week, too, my brother-in-law sent me. But a lot of talk going on. They're starting to recognize because companies are growing. There's movers and shakers out there, and you can't find the employees, and boy, is that frustrating.
You know, 2 weeks ago, as I went to that job fair where I met Alex Jimenez, and I met a lot of people. I love to talk to people. In fact, Peter and Henry, they crack up because everybody and anybody is game when I see you. They see me there with the shirt and tie, think I'm the manager of the event or something, and then I strike up a conversation. But as I look at the resumes, the people are wonderfully qualified for jobs that would have been in the system 8 and 10 years ago. Computer technology and things like that, that's wonderful. However, today with new modern technology, a kid 10 years old is able to be an expert. They're able to go through the very best. I said to them, well, maybe it's time for you to add on to your qualifications and maybe seek out some new training, take a look at some job opportunities. They are going on the internet. They are seeing the jobs that are out there, and they're also seeing that they're not qualified based upon what they graduated from school. Now, I blame that on the school counselors and also on the parents, because the parents should sit down and say, Larkin, Mark, Henry, Gabriella, whatever, what do you really feel you're best suited to do in the future? And they're simply not doing that.
You know, I have some people that we're calling colleges. We're trying to get anybody and everybody. I've got a young man here from Penn State. He's going into his fourth year, but he's doing an internship here and working with me, and he found a house to live in. Just this morning he said, geez, it's odd. I had to ask somebody how to fill out an envelope. I never learned that in school. I didn't know certain things like filling out an envelope, writing a letter, writing in cursive is gone, and even in high schools and whatnot. But Mike, there's so many disconnects. And talking to these young people, they wish they would have learned certain things. But finding these skilled trades and talking to the schools lately, even as far as Ohio, I will take people from any state. Very, very difficult. But there are schools out there. But they got to, like you just said, it's parents and guidance counselors have to make it okay and accept it. The German way, again, if I just talked to a guy, they're building milling equipment for the roads in Germany. They had 29 ninth graders in their factory, because you don't go to BOCES or a trade school. You go to a company and work for that company. And he said, what a clean run facility. And then as that student learns the trade, then they ask the company what they need to learn, and then you go to school for what they need. Pretty interesting, Mike, that German way and what we have to change here and get going on. Make it okay and acceptable. And, you know, a doctor, like your friend guest the other day, said a Tinnacker over in Germany was respected more than a doctor. A doctor was considered a nurse. And here we just got to bring up the respect level for the trades.
Well said.
You know, I think that some time ago, I'm going to guess it was a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, We had a conversation with a guest, Bruce Bassett Powell, about the education system in England, and the fact that not everybody in England is earmarked to become an attorney or a doctor or a corporate CEO, and that they recognize very early in the eighth and ninth grade just actually what direction that they are most suited for, and you know, they're sent in that direction. And that's where I think, you know, our schools have failed us. I don't. We have a habit in our family of finding and bringing funny cocktail napkins that have funny sayings on them, pictures, sayings. It's another day. I haven't been to the gym. That's 5 years in a row. You know, that kind of stuff that just makes fun of it. And there was one last night that that said, "This is year number 17, and I haven't used algebra yet." Algebra one yet. It's just an indication that the kids are taught so many things in school that really don't have any value other than proving to somebody that they have the ability to learn. Why don't we change those subjects into something that is truly going to make a difference in their life and point them in a skill position that will either have them operating on dogs and animals, or operating on people, or operating machinery. It all needs, you know, all of these jobs and positions need to be filled constantly, and we have taken the glory and the grace and the honor out of blue collar work.
Yeah, and Larkin, probably you yourself and me, I was a Mark Smolgen and welding repair. I was a mobile guy, a motor doctor, and went around to people's house. But that was a points and condenser days. I could do it without a computer. This learning, we were working on some vehicles yesterday. I was talking to a friend that runs a mechanic shop. These vehicles, you need so much tech training, so much computer training. Even in my shop, my new brake, press brake, there's so much technical advantage. It's just not, they're not up to speed at where we are as a technical country and what the respect that it needs to work on a vehicle, a car already. You got to be a motor doctor.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, in your day we could fix the things. Now you have to have computer skills. I mean, there's so much that's not talked about where they can go in these industries and grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What? One, all you have to do is go to the internet and go to some of these places like Monster and all the other employment opportunities and take a look at what they're looking for. And then decide with your youngster in the 9th and 10th grade where the kids should really be focusing their training on in the future, because going to be a history major or whatever is wonderful, but will the history major do the trick for a long-term employment? That's my only concern.
So there's a new site called Indeed that is very, very popular, and there's not a lot of high-end stuff on there. There are bank jobs, bank inspector jobs, government jobs, and some of the stuff like that. But the lion's share of these things are vet techs, retail seasonal help at Lowe's. You know, I hear that there are an awful lot of jobs out there, but it's a slippery slope that we deal with between raising the minimum wage and being able to raise a family on $9.50 an hour or $10.50 an hour. It's really, really almost impossible to do, certainly in New York City or any one of our major metropolitan areas, but it's impossible to do really anywhere in this country. So we've got to address that issue. And I'm not saying that all entry-level jobs should be immediately eliminated and thrown out the window and given $15 an hour minimum wage rates. That's just not the way the system works. It's not the way it has worked in the past. And what has happened is so many of the good jobs have been eliminated and gone offshore that now those people are being forced to consider entry-level jobs like counter help at McDonald's or counter help on any fast food restaurant or a convenience store. Heretofore, those jobs have been entry-level jobs. You get those your senior year in high school, you work at them through college, and then you graduate into another area, a better paying area. I don't think it's going to do our economy any good to turn entry-level jobs into family-supportive jobs. And when you talk about raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour, you've taken them from, you know, virtual poverty to just minor poverty.
Right, it's, right. It's, 100%. It's, and you know,
it's not enough.
Now, I listened on a very good show last week when they were talking about bringing more industries back from overseas to America if they can get the taxes, long-term tax commitment to be here. There was one thing that was very interesting, Larkin, and I know that Sarah Blackwell would be really the person to address it. It was that if some of these industries were able to locate 20% of their operation back in America, they would have to bring back at least third, they would have to import at least 30% of the employees from overseas to run the factory or run the operation in America because we simply don't have the skilled people to do it.
Well, I think that's true. And I'm also going to say something that might outrage a lot of people, but I'm sorry. It's what I have found to be the truth. And that is that our American youth don't have the greatest work ethic coming down the pike. I've been in a variety of blue-collar natured businesses that I've owned where I have found it impossible to motivate our white Anglo-Saxon Americans, I don't know what you want to call them, but have had some really, really phenomenal outcomes with foreigners, with immigrants that come to this country to find work. They're ready to work, and they're ready to work for the dollar that you're paying. There are no complaints. They put their nose down and get their job done, and it's amazing. So we've got to start doing something about the work ethic in this country. I don't think it's at a very high level right now.
I'm glad you agree with that. Because we see that, and I always said you can't go to college or school for drive ambition. You just can't. It's a cultural change. You got to have want in you. And I've been lucky. We've been really going through a lot of applications and employees. We've hired 11 people at General Welding and Fabricating and 2 at Made in America in the last 4 weeks. That's a lot of growth. But we're talking about going through 100 applications and looking for a few that have farm work ethic. Boy, we nailed if they've worked on a farm. If they've worked for a living, I had a gentleman that had tough times in life, but, started with us, and then he could get a pair of shoes, could get the power back on, and, the house type thing. And, boy, is he respectful. When you find somebody that really needs, wants a job, wants to provide for themselves, it's outstanding instead of wanting a handout. And that's what you're talking about. We became also an entitled society, too, and we've got to eliminate that. We've got to find out and give want back.
Want is the word. You know, I was out at another very good event, and we started to talk about sneakers. And what was funny is everybody started to look at the sneakers on themselves. And I said, well, I wonder if we had everybody who doesn't have an American-made pair of sneakers on would have to take them off and then throw them in the bin and get them on their way out. And everybody looked at me, and this one has this, and this one has that. They look, a lot of people look at the sneakers and think they're American made. They take the sneaker off, and when they look at it, they're in shock that it's foreign made. This is the thing that we've been trying to do for a long time. And that is why I say so often, the news media really can tell us a lot if they would just focus on telling us good news as well as the bad news, and then let us take and make up our mind what we want to do. I understand that Dr. Logis is going to be joining us for a few minutes. Dr. Logis, it sounds like you're on the road, but we're looking to hear from you. Welcome, Dr. Logis.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. Sorry for coming in a little bit late here. I'll be sure to check out the rebroadcast. I just want to wish everyone on the panel and our listeners a great and safe and happy Fourth. And it gives me a chance to cite one of my favorite all-time quotes, Michael, from Dr. Franklin, a real doctor. When he was asked in 1787, Dr. Franklin, a republic or a monarchy? And his answer was, a republic if you can keep it. See, the if you can keep it part, Michael, that's the important part of that statement, because it wasn't a republic, don't worry about staying home on election day. It wasn't a republic, don't worry about what your kids are taught at school. It wasn't a republic, don't worry, everything's great, live an ignorant life. No, it was a republic if you can keep it. So it gives me a chance, Michael, to just say that quote, because it's a great reminder for us at this time of year.
Very good. Rich, I know that you're on the road today, and I want to thank you as we get ready to celebrate the 4th of July. I want to thank you for all that you've done to motivate people, to give them another point of view. If we only had more of us in the general media, I think America really would be a better place. I get calls all the time from people wanting some kind of information and about what we're doing and this and that. And they always try to put a negative spin on it. But do you think we have the quality people in this country to fill these jobs? I says, if we don't, why not? And they didn't know what to say. These people.
Well, perhaps, Michael, perhaps not to speak for Dr. Franklin and our founders, but perhaps if he were with us today, he might say, a republic, but you won't keep it if all you listen to is the Democrat media industrial complex. So I don't mean to speak for him, but perhaps he might think that today. This is the time of year, to our veterans, to all of us who are here, to remind ourselves of the fact that despite our flaws and our problems and our issues, which are many, and we have to continue to work to resolve them. The reality of it, Michael, is that Americans don't flee where they live to move rest to the rest of the world. It's the opposite. People flee where they are to come here. And that's really talked enough about amongst all sides of the political spectrum, but it is a great reminder at this time of year for us to think about that.
Very well said. Very well said. Rich, are you? When is your next obligation today?
It's probably, Michael, in about 10 seconds. So,
okay.
Rich, it's great to hear your voice.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. Happy 4th of July, Rich.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thank you.
We are going to welcome a special guest during the second half of our broadcast today. And you'll be very pleased to hear from this gentleman, because he's made a definite mark in the way things are being done in America. But before we do welcome the guest, as we're getting ready to welcome Brian, I want to just thank all of our advertisers as we prepare for the 4th of July. I always mention them. As you know, we are a 7-day-a-week broadcast here on 860. And we have a number of wonderful sponsors, and today I'm not going to mention them all, but I am just going to say thank you. Please support them. We have many listeners throughout the week who go to their stores, call them for various services. Thank you, because that's the way it has to be if we want to stay on the air and continue to be able to pay our bills and do more things to motivate people to support American Made. There's no excuse that America is in the situation that it is today. We allowed it to happen as the American people, as the American voter. We allowed all of our elected officials to do whatever they want to do without any regard to what we want to do. And so now that things are changing, leadership is changing, local leaders are seeing that the party is over, it's time to start focusing on what the real needs of America are, or we're going to be reduced while others are going to grow. So that is my message. Please go out and support all of your local events in your community. Go out to the parades. Remember what the 4th of July is. make sure you fly your flags proudly. And if you need flags, remember Mark Andel offers flags 365 days a year. All you have to do is go to the front page of American Workers Radio and click on his link. And as Mark said earlier, he has those grills and all the other stuff that you will need for a happy, happy occasion at your house, and other items too that promote American made. So please, Mark, you're the perfect example of what it's really all about. So please do continue to do what you do and get everybody behind you. We have a lot of friends and listeners from Chittawaga. So make sure if Ricky Lee or whoever's going to be out there, they promote American Workers Radio. And I want to now turn to our very special guest. And I'm just going to ask him. This guy is so impressive. I'm going to ask him to introduce himself. His first name is Brian, and he's going to tell you his whole story about being on the David Muir Show. And Mark, I'm going to then ask you to give him a special welcome. Welcome, Brian Skiotz. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Boy, I want to tell you, I'm so impressed with what you've done, and I can't wait for you to spend some time telling. You're on the air today with Larkin Connolly, who's a small business advocate and a SCORE mentor, and Mark Andel, who is the father, I say, the founder of the Made in America store. And I'd love to everybody to get together. Rich Loges is at a special conference, so he won't be with us today. But Brian, please do introduce yourself from start to finish. Tell us about yourself, and then we'll have a chance to talk. Welcome.
Okay, sure. So I'll start way back growing up, because I think it's important kind of to figure out how I'm wired and grew up. And I grew up from a long history of people serving in the military, from my great-great-grandfather to my grandfather, you know, serving 30 years as a Master Chief and in the Navy, and to my father, and my brother and sister, all the way to me. I remember sitting there when I was, you know, 13, and my brother and sister, you know, my best friends growing up, were moved out of the house and enlisted and in the Army and the Navy, and watched the oil refineries on fire, and they went overseas. And I remember, you know, seeing how that affected my mother, and I just always felt a desire to want to serve one day. And I joined the Army, became a paratrooper, an infantry paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne, and just wanted to jump out of planes and shoot guns and relive G.I. Joe days from watching that when I was a kid. And I did that. I was stationed at Fort Bragg, and it was a great time, the camaraderie and that brotherhood. And you know, and then at the end of the day, I mean, all said and done, you get to jump out of planes and shoot guns, which is pretty cool, you know, and get paid to do it. So I did that for 3 years, and my time was up. And a couple knee surgeries later from some bad jumps, I had gotten out and just went to school and went to school and was afforded that luxury by, you know, the GI Bill and being in the military. And so I went to the University of Alabama for my undergrad, and then 9/11 happened. And well, I was upset, and just like most Americans, I was really upset, and I wanted to go back in, and I didn't want to be reactionary to that day, because I knew my education was important. So I wanted to finish school first, and so I did that, and had grown up an Air Force brat, and been around airplanes a lot in the Air Force, and decided I wanted to fly them. And so I joined the Air Force, became a pilot, and got an opportunity to join Air Force Special Operations. And I did that, and I moved down to Florida, where I was stationed at Hurlburt, and deployed 9 times. And on my 9th deployment, I'd gotten injured, non-combat related, but I'd gotten injured over in Afghanistan, and came back and you know, was going through some tough times personally, that, you know, I had a little bit of depression and a little bit of just missing being active by, you know, being cooped up in my house from having spinal surgery and a neck brace. And I'm always used to go, 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 and being home for 60 days and then deploying. So it was an adjustment for my family and for myself. And I didn't wear my uniform anymore, and I missed having my flag on my sleeve. It's always something that I could always look down. It was just right there. It was just something I got used to. And I was doing some research, because I wanted to get something unique for my house. And I went onto a website and found a beautiful American flag. And unfortunately, it wasn't made in America. And so that upset me. And so I did a bunch of research trying to find wooden American flags, and I couldn't find any. And I knew I had a bunch of tools in my garage. My dad had, you know, bought me and given me over the years. I just didn't have time to learn how to use them. And you know, I didn't spend a lot of time at home, to be honest with you. I just spent most of my time overseas. And so I started woodworking that next day. And what I found was it was very therapeutic. And I had no previous woodworking experience, no previous painting or any of that. And so I'm self-taught. I made a bunch of trips back and forth to hardware stores and to talk to the arts and crafts, you know, personnel and kind of just working on it. And I made my first flag out of a pallet. And there was a lady in my neighborhood whose friend came over who had just lost her husband. And he was an EOD guy and defused bombs for a living in the Air Force. And he passed away. And so I asked her if it'd be okay if I could give her the flag that I made, because I didn't know what I was going to do with it. To be honest with you, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just making things. I didn't even think they were that nice at first, but apparently they were. And so, because people would drive by and want to buy them. And so she allowed me to do that. I walked down and into my driveway. I remember it like it was yesterday. And she parked there. And I walked up to her and introduced myself and told her that this flag was something that I had made and I wanted to give it to her and not just for everything that her husband did for our country, but what she does for our country. And a lot of times the service members' families get forgot about. And so that was just a way for me to say thank you. And I found it philanthropically, you know, it's that feeling I tell everyone that you can't buy that feeling of giving back, that just pure giving back. And it felt awesome. And I wanted, and now that giving back was almost like my drug, I wanted to, how do I repeat this? How do I get this feeling over and over again? And so I kept making flags, and I would give a couple away, and then people started driving by and wanting to buy them, and I thought, this is interesting. And I was kind of blown away by it. Like, again, I've self-taught, and people want to buy something and you know, that I'm making right there in my garage. And I had some business degrees, not just for my undergrad, but, you know, I'd got an MBA while I was deploying all the time, and I always wanted to get into business. And so, you know, worked on a business plan and thought, well, what if I could start a company that, you know, is basically focused around three things, and it's made in America. So what if we could utilize all American tools and materials and everything, even boxes and tape and just everything? Could we do that? Could we hire all veterans, specifically combat veterans, that are missing that brotherhood, that camaraderie when they get out, that are dealing with stressors from being deployed, that have anxiety or PTS or just, you know, that miss their buddies. And what if we could create an environment like that they can thrive in? And then, but, you know, lastly but not least, what if we could give back, keep giving back? Like, so we launched the company October of 2015. We're about, 22 months old, 23 months old. And now, you know, we started out with two employees in a 3,000-square-foot workshop, and quite honestly, we stared at each other for about, I don't know, 30 minutes, and we're like, all right, what next? What are we going to do with all this space? We don't even know what we're doing. And so we just, you know, started very old-school grassroots style. We started going to some shows, some art shows and craft shows and gun shows, and just showcasing our artwork, but really just telling our story and getting people's reaction. Is more of a proof of concept. And what we found was people really embraced the story. They liked that our company was built on those three main foundations and principles. And so we grew over time. And last year we had an opportunity to go on Fox Business and Mornings with Maria and Fox and Friends. And our company grew overnight. And then, you know, we had that momentum. We kept hiring. We had about eight employees last year. And then we got to 10 employees. And then we were called a month ago, and somebody called and said, hey, I'm a producer for ABC World News Tonight, David Murr. We'd like to showcase your company as a Person of the Week or a Made in America segment they do. And we said, well, absolutely. So we frantically, you know, move things around and try to, you know, make the place look better, more presentable. And, you know, one of their producers came down and they did the segment, and we were just overwhelmed with everyone's support. We had gotten months of orders in 72 hours. I know we had 808 emails by 8 o'clock the next morning, and the segment aired at 6 p.m. Eastern and then went to, you know, Mountain and Pacific. But so now we have 15 combat veterans. We just hired three more who are getting new space because we've outgrown our new space, which is now 6,000 square feet. We've outgrown that. And, you know, scale and the whole, you know, just giving back. And we've, in 22 months, we've raised over $500,000 for nonprofits. We've given away hundreds of flags. I actually went to a local fire station down the road and donated our largest flag to them because, you know, I serve my country overseas just like everyone else. And these the men and women of the first responder community and the fire and police and emergency medical do it right here in our backyards. And sometimes that's overlooked. And we just wanted to stop by and say thank you. And that's what we did. And that's what we'll always do because that's important to us.
Well, Brian, I want to tell you something. You are a remarkable, remarkable person. Just the way you focused on what you wanted to do to help the veterans and get people together. I think it's unbelievable. I think David Muir, this is a, what you're saying is a perfect example of what could happen to a lot of our companies if we focused on American-made and getting more people involved, focusing on what we need to do in America rather than trying to focus on the whole world. Brian,
absolutely.
I want you to know that you can check out flagsofvalor.com. Just go to flagsofvalor.com. You'll be able to see Brian's workshop. You'll be able to see some of the veterans that he has working there. And you'll even be able to see the David Muir report that's on there. I don't know which exact link it is, but I encourage you to look through all the links. Brian, you're on the phone with Mark Andel, too, and I'm going to ask Mark to speak to you and welcome you. Mark.
Hello, Brian. Welcome. Wow, what a story. We got a lot in common, and I'm not sure how God blesses us with these guests like yourself. And first and foremost, thank you for your service to our country. I did a little homework on you, just knowing you had served, like you said, with the Army and the Airborne, and just awesome. Thank you. There's no higher honor to me. You know, our story's a lot in similarity. If you look me up, I grew up a Rector Set kid and just kind of worked my way up, taught myself, you know, Mark Small Engine Welding, a motor doctor, and one thing led to another. I'm a metal guy. That's where we differ, you know. I can't weld wood together, so I don't work with it, you know.
right.
We've got a lot. We grew and grew, and then I lost half my business to China directly in 07. Had 70 employees, which included 18 family members, three guys I went to kindergarten with, and I had to lay off 40 of them. Hit me really, really hard with the recession of 08, 09, 010. And then out of that came the Made in America store, where I said I want to support our country, soldier, American worker, and people that work with their hands. And everybody thought I was crazy. I, too, was blessed with World News, Diane Sawyers at the time, and Sharon Alfonsi, and Fox and Friends. So we got a lot of similarities, and boy, they can blow up your website. I appreciate your story.
Absolutely.
Been blessed since that day, and we're now, I'm proud to say, up to 7,000 products, 100% made in our country, and support 486 privately owned American businesses. And I'd love to make you one part of them, is where I want to lead that. I think we've got so much in common. Your flag, we got a flagship store in Western New York. We got seven stores now, 7,000 products, and we've been doing this 7 years. So
wow.
Thank you. You know, then you do all that, which is so honorable, and then become a pilot. And my godson's a C-17 pilot, or was, and then you become an entrepreneur, which is, you know, we joke here that an entrepreneur is the only one that'll work 100 hours a week so he don't have to work a 40-hour job.
right.
You know, I got a lot of, you know, I went to Mistake University. I've got a lot of different T-shirts. You know, our favorite T-shirt is the Made in America store because China's a long drive to work. That's my number one. We've been blessed with 625 tour buses that visited the store, a small town of Elma, population 6,000. But they just want to see what Americans are making. I joke, I'm with the American Party. You know, just a consumer can make so much difference on their purchase. It can take over this country and fix the country. So I respect that. You're made in America. You're made by veterans, which is incredible. I've got a lot of – we honor our veterans. And then, you know, you just believe and like to give back. We got a country singer named Ricky Lee, who's out of Altoona, Pennsylvania, who wears my shirt, Made America Store shirt, around the country and supports our veterans. He started music for our vets, and he gives back through music. And music is an unbelievable tool to get people to stand up again. And he goes to the VA hospital, so I think you'd be honored to meet him sometime. But thank you for what you do. Your flags look awesome. It's an incredible story. Honored to have you on our show today.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for what you do and for what you stand for. And, I'm happy to be here. I'm overwhelmed. You know, like you said, I was a pilot, you know, a couple years ago, and I launched a company, and now we're, you know, scaling again and rapid growth that you're used to, and we're not, but, you know, we're learning it.
And Brian, I tell everybody, living the dream is a lot of work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Brian, are you working a 40-hour week or a 100-hour week?
I would probably say around 80, and that's to... That's to spend a little more time with my family because, you know, I want, as you
that's the balance. Yeah.
I watched a lot. My oldest, I watched mostly grow up on Skype when I was deployed. So it's important to you know, balance that work, you know, family time. So try to do that to the best of my abilities. Turn the cell phone off for a couple of hours while
you
get home.
You cut it short at 80 hours, huh?
Brian, you're also on the phone with a very well-known person who's a member of our panel, Larkin Connolly. Larkin, you've heard Brian. You've saw what he's all about on his website. What do you have to say?
I was gawking out the window as I was listening, watching my grandchildren in the pool. Brian, your story truly represents, you know, that lack of spirit that we at this program and at our initiative are trying to bring back to the country. The backbone of our country is I make it, I sell it, I make a fair profit, and I raise my family in the greatest country in the world. And you're really an example of that, and I applaud you for that. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, I understand you got some great press, but it's unfortunate that we don't spend more time online and on our press talking about Brian's type of stories and a little bit less of the hatred that's being spewed between two or three different sides every day. So I applaud you. I would tell you to find a local SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE chapter. Get a mentor. You'd be amazed at how much you can ultimately end up depending on it. The thing about SCORE is it's someone who's done what you're trying to do, has done it successfully. We have very few faculty members, but an awful lot of experienced people who have done what you've done. And we have the perfect agenda. We don't charge a penny. All we want is to see you become extremely successful. We know bankers. We know politicians. We know our way around the game. And I very seldom have ever met a successful entrepreneur who had a SCORE mentor who said, yeah, I used him for a couple months and I don't talk to him anymore. They become your best friend because you know they have nothing but your success at hand. So I would suggest that you contact your local SCORE chapter and have them match up with a great mentor.
And by the way, Brian, it is a free service, which is great. That's the most important.
That sounds amazing. I can shoot an email offline here.
You can do that, or you can just go to SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE.org.
Okay.
And there's a box up there that asks for your zip code. You put your zip code in, and the process starts. We have something just short of 11,000 mentors around the country who...
Yeah.
You know, I can find somebody who started a startup like yours who is at the same stage that you are, is ready to help you scale and to organize your mind so that you scale up properly. Because so many companies, you know, do well that first year. They do okay. But in order to become a sustainable operation, you really have to scale up. And in the process, that's where they have or they run into all their problems. Unless you have a mission like Mark Andels, and in that case, it took us like 15 or was it 17 minutes, Mark, to find a bank that was willing to lend you money.
Brian, take Larkin up on that offer. I never knew SCORE existed, Larkin I met through the radio show. Larkin's a great guy. They do know Larkin there. He's afraid to tell you that, but he's very well known. He handled a lot. They had me at a speaker once, but you know, I talked to the head of JCPenney. What it is just good, great people that were successful that want to help other great people. So it's great, great stuff.
And you know, Brian, there are so many things going on in the business world, and Larkin is correct. The first year with all the great publicity is wonderful. It's a matter of maintaining your cause, which is so important. I don't believe there's more of a better cause that I've seen in a long time like yours, because you are helping our veterans. When these guys come back, Brian, how easy is it these days for them to find employment?
Well, I don't, you know, that's the real question, right? I don't think it's hard for them to find a job. I think it's hard for them to find the right job. And that's where, you know, the standard profile, and I hate to say that, but, you know, guys get back and they bounce around jobs, and they think a lot of veterans, specifically combat veterans, think they're alone and think what they're feeling is just what they're feeling. And then they try to go through the VA systems, and some of them are challenging, and you know, they'll try to get some therapy or whatever through group sessions, and a lot of times they're grouped up with older generations, like my father's generation that went to Vietnam, and you know, even the greatest generation of all. And that, it wasn't common for someone to speak about their struggles with war or whatever, however they deal with their anxiety, or like we always say, it's not, we drop the D out of PTSD. We don't feel like it's a disorder. We feel like it's a normal feeling to have. And there's kind of a negative connotation when you hear the word disorder. It's almost like a label, like, oh, that guy's got PTSD. That girl's got PTSD. Well, no, she's got some stuff she's dealing with. He's got some stuff they're dealing with, and how can we help? And so we wanted, you know, to make a long story long, or a long answer long, is that it's tough for them to find the right job. And I think what we provide is the right job for them, and we see it on a daily basis. We get to take a pile of raw materials every day and turn it into a piece of art. And it just so happens to be something near and dear to us because we wear it on our sleeve, on our uniform, and it represents our country, and it means a lot. So I hope that answered the question.
Yes, you know. Yes.
I'll also give you a brilliant piece of knowledge, Brian. The SBA and SCORE, but it's actually driven by SCORE, has a program called Boots to Business. And in that Boots to Business program, we have a variety of veteran-available programs that help veterans get into business and to start their own business or vocationally get them to be spending their time doing the right thing to get the use of the GI Bill if they want to be a welder. It's a great program. It's called Boots to Business. You can find it on the score.org site, and it wouldn't hurt for you to give every one of your returning vets that pamphlet, which gives them an option to consider that. I was speaking to a group in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a large returning group of veterans from the Middle East, and at lunch that day or at breakfast that day, one of the little kids, because these veterans bring their wife and children, opened the door, and the door slammed, and half of the room hit the floor. It was amazing when you talk about PTSD or PD, whatever those letters are, that you're right. Everybody that comes back has that. They have to. I mean, you have to matriculate back into a society that everybody isn't carrying a gun or has a bomb strapped to their back. But during the session that I had, I said in my opening remarks about Boots to Business and some of the programs that we had, how many of you, raise your hands for me, how many of you have gone out with your combat pay and bought a Ford 150? And an amazing number of hands go up. And it gives me a dual sense to say, on one hand, you deserve it, you earned it, and if it is that conduit back to normality for you, then let it be an F-150. The other side of me says we can take some of that money and start a small business and help you scale up a small business so that you can support your family on your own sweat and your own pride and your own investment in your own business.
You know, Brian, Larkin is giving good advice, and I want to tell you something. I'm so proud to just see your beautiful website. I don't know who did it, but it's well done, and I'm going to ask everyone to check it out by going to flagsofvalor.com. I'm going to ask Henry if he would link that up on the front page of our internet site. And I want to tell you something, Brian. As you know, time passes very quickly. And believe it or not, we are minutes away from ending our broadcast today. But I'm going to ask you to come back again very, very soon so that we can continue this conversation. And I'm going to say to everyone, please look through all of the links on Brian's site. He's an amazing gentleman. He doesn't promote himself on that site, but he promotes the idea of veteran-owned, veteran-operated, combat veteran-made flags, beautiful pieces of artwork. I encourage you to go online, order some of those flags. And Brian, can't thank you enough for being with us today, and I'm going to ask you to be available to us again in the very near future. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you. Brian, your final remarks for today.
Well, I just want to say thank you. You know, I'm humbled that you guys had me on and to get to really share our why from Flags of Valor. And I'd love to come back on, so I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all your guidance and everyone's support.
Wonderful. And Larkin, your final remarks on this pre-4th of July broadcast.
Brian, please don't hesitate to reach out to me through our webpage, American Workers Radio. I would be more than happy to spend any amount of time to help you moralize the connection between SCORE and FOV. Thank you.
And well, Dr. Andel.
Hey, Brian, you made my day. Thank you again for the service, your company. Awesome, awesome story. Let's hook up. I've already I emailed my brother-in-law to contact you. Let's get together. We're on the same mission. Thank you for everything you do.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, until Barbara will be back tomorrow and Friday, I'll see you again on Saturday at 11. Stay tuned for all of our broadcasts here 7 days a week on 860 AM. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show on the internet this afternoon. Kindly do check it out. And we'll also have a picture of Brian up there along with a copy of his card so that you can link on and check out all the great work that he's doing. Until we meet again the day after the 4th of July, I want to wish you and yours a very happy 4th of July. Fly your flags proudly. Remember, we have Mark Andel and also Brian Stiotz ready to give you those flags that you'll be able to proudly fly in your home and outside your home. Thank you, guys. Remember to spread the word about AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Thanks.
Happy 4th of July, guys.
Happy 4th, everybody.